All right, we ready?
Let's go.
Christ died upon the cross for me.
Sunset is coming, but the sunrise will see. Sunset.
to see everybody. If I'd listened to the preacher's advice, I wouldn't be near as hoarse as I am right now. I tell you what, we need to trade places. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. We need to take some of our church members and put them in the nursing home and take the nursing home people and bring them to church. You want to know why? They know the songs we sing without books. Now, I'm telling you, Ruby had them words down pat, no matter what we sung. Certainly, she did too. It didn't matter. Man, they did. And ask both of them, what song you want? Greg asked them, you know, what song you want? They liked what we sang. Now, all you grumblers and gripers, go up yonder. Uh-huh. Well, let's get back on the... But that is true. Man, they had a good time. And I think other folks down the hallway did too, different wherever it was. One person asked me what church I went to, and I told them Holy Church of Christ. Well, I couldn't think of the name of our church, but I was kidding. But no, I told them where it was at, and they had that look on their face like, I ain't never heard of that. I wasn't going to tell them where it was at because they might want to come. But no, I didn't want to tell them where it was at because, you know, some people just dignified, and I'm not one of them. So if I'd have told them, well, it's off 33, and they was to ask me where, I'd say, I don't know. You go turn around by the water plant. I don't know the name of that road. You just turn there. So it's 214 or 314 or... See, I was close. So don't let me invite you to church. I'll get you close. That's about it. It's good to be here. Whether or not we got a blessing, they got one. That's all that counts. But we got one, too, I guarantee you. It's always good. It's always good, no matter what we do. And David was going through, he's going through therapy, and so therapy's never fun, but you pray for them. Pray for them that they'd love to be here tonight. I guarantee you. Well, I won't hold you long. Won't you turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 9? I'm going to read a verse while you turn it there. I'm going somewhere else. I want you to listen to it. Whenever I first thought, I want you to listen to what this verse says. In Genesis chapter 3, listen to verse 5. Listen to what it says. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof. Now, you know what he's talking about. He's talking about eating of that tree that they're supposed to leave it alone. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing evil. Now, you know that ain't God speaking. That was the devil speaking, and he was trying to persuade Adam and Eve, and right here at this point, it was Eve, and he's trying to persuade him, said, well, you know that God, if you do that, your eyes will be open. Little did they know, their eyes were open, and they were fixing to close them, because sin has a way of you think you're seeing, but you really don't see. You think you know God, but when you get saved, you really know God. So their eyes were open. There was no sin. There was no God hiding. God was able to reveal himself to them in a way that me and you long for. The desires of our heart as a Christian is to see God. And to be able to see God, and I'm going to use human terms, to feel God. To know God like God knows us. God knows hairs of our head, that terminology. God knows us better than we know ourselves. God looks at us, and we'll just spout out, you know, I don't know if you do, but we just spout out things. And God knows the intent of our heart. Now, I want to read you something, and I want you to listen. We won't be here long, but I want to show you. Matthew chapter 9. Look with me as we read verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith," according to your faith, not nobody else, "according to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. May we pray together. Father, we thank you for the word. Oh God, we pray tonight you just speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege of going to heaven once we've been born again. Thank you, Lord, that our name's recorded in that Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Lord, we pass from condemnation unto life eternal. And I praise you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible uses a terminology. These men followed him, and they were blind. Just a simple thing. It doesn't share with us somebody helped them along the way. It just said they followed him. They were able to know without seeing. Me and you are the opposite. We like to see, and we still don't know. We like to be able to see him and then believe him. But the Bible teaches us it's faith-based. Faith. Being faith-based. He told the others at one time, he said, "Blessed are you because you can see." But more, there's a greater blessing to be able to not see and believe. But I want to share with you, their faith was not dependent on him touching them of their blindness. Their faith was dependent on him, on what he said to them. Now, what does the Lord tell us? Now, listen, do we sit around and wait and listen for God and God just to speak to us? Do we sit around and say, "Well, I believe that was the Lord's voice that talked to me"? Friend, I want you to know we're not in this miracle-seeking thing tonight. I'm not after somebody to say, "Give me something new." I like the old way, and I like to be able for God to speak to me, and he'll speak to me if I'll get in this book and learn what this book has to say. This book is filled with the truths. I got to stay focused or we'll be here a lot longer than I intended. But listen, I want us to look at seeing what he sees in your eyes. I want you to just bear with me a minute. What he sees in your eyes. That don't really make a lot of sense, but I hope it will in a minute. What he sees in your eyes. In a person, whenever they look at somebody, sometimes whenever you really look into a person's eyes, you can you can see in their facial expressions fear, joy, all the emotional things when you look at somebody. But sometimes when you look at somebody, looking at them with the eyes and looking and focusing on their eyes, you can almost see in a person's heart. Just hang with me. These two blind men were very unique. They're just like all of us. There is a willingness to know about God, but there's an unwillingness to do everything it takes. But sometimes that unwillingness to do everything it takes requires us to have to go through things for us to see, what it really takes to serve God. To serve God today means more than just going to church. Going to church will send you to hell. It's a scary thing. Trying to do good will send you to hell. Trying to be good to your neighbor will send you to hell. What sends you to the Lord Jesus Christ and eternal life is to be able to look and know and feel. And sometimes when you look at somebody, oh, they have the outward emotion, but they have nothing in the eyes. God sees you. Sometimes He sees you through your eyes. And I hope that makes sense as we go a little further. What did it mean to the widow woman that had the son that she was going to gather her sticks and going to make that last meal, as we call it? The terminology she used was this: I'm gathering the sticks, going home and cooking our last meal, and we're going to die. When the prophet saw that, God had already told her what he was going to do. We've gone over this 100 times, but just listen to this one thing. When the prophet saw the woman, he saw in her eyes, I'm going to eat and die. There was nothing else. Nothing else would change her mind. Nothing else would her mind off of her last meal, her son's going to die, and she's going to. This was all over her in her heart. And friend, when you get to the part in your life when you put on the front on the outside and you got all the emotional factors, you're really strong and there's nothing weak about you, but God knows when looking right straight through you, He can see right into your heart. And when God sees in your heart, God knows your needs. And friend, if your need intersects with the will of God, if it comes, boom, if it makes that course and God's will, friend, I want you to know you ain't got a thing in the world to worry about. Because when your will, man, and we hit God's will, God's going to take over. But we must be willing to follow Him when we're blind. That means through help or not help, we got to know the direction He's going. Remember what it all led to? Jesus said to them, let's see your faith. Let's see your faith. What would we do if we had to put up or shut up? What if we had to bring something to the game and say, listen, I want to be saved, and this is what it's going to take for you to get saved. God was to say, do this. Boy, if God was to say, do this, man, I'd be in trouble. What if I don't do it right? What if I mess up? What if I forget it? What if I don't? See, ain't you glad that salvation is by grace? Amen. But let me get back to here. The two men followed. And when they got into the house, Jesus says, now let's look at you for a moment. Look at you. Now how do blind people see? How do blind people see? They don't see with this. The blind people see by faith.
And faith is that ability of what? When we look to God by faith, we don't use this right here. But this is the avenue that God uses a lot of times to look and see into our heart, because we put on a front to God. The woman would have had her last meal and died. But God did something for her that He does for people all around the country all the time, if we'll let Him. And every day after she did what God wanted, every meal that they had, read your Bible, every meal, that meant when she eat, her son eat, the prophet eat, there was meal and oil. It didn't run out. It would just come on. Every day. You see, when your will, when you by faith, without looking, she could open up the meal barrel. She could open that up and know that there was something in there. The first time she opened up it, it might have been one of them things, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. But friend, whenever she went to the meal barrel and she pulled out and she got what she needed to pull out for that day, friend, there was no questioning. She knew it was from God. Nobody else could do what God did. When the blind men had Jesus not in their eyesight, had Him in that faith sight, the ability to see God without looking. Me and you have that. We will trust God. We've read it in this book. We know God answers prayer. We know God is able to deliver. We know God is able to do abundantly above that which we ask or think. We know that because we've read it. We put it in our heart. And when we will say, God, I'm just going to believe you. If we'll close our natural eyes, faith will take over. That's a big old step. The biggest step in the world is whenever you walk down the aisle and ask God to save your soul. That's a big old step right there. Because the devil's going to do just like he did Eve in the garden. Said, you know, if you do this, you're going to see differently. You're going to be just like God. I don't want to be like, it's not my job to be God. It's not my job to run this world. It's not my job to think I'm smart. Friend of mine, it's God's job to do all that. I'm just one of His children. I don't want to be nothing else but His child. Be His servant, do what God wants me to do. I do not want to be in charge of this world. Let's let God do that. But me by faith needs to learn to live without looking. So that woman would go to that meal barrel, and she'd go to that meal barrel every day, every day. And every day, God satisfied what was going on by faith. Here's what was said. Now listen, you don't, just listen to me. The verse says, when He said, believe ye that I am able to do this. Can I describe to you something that when Stephen was being stoned, he was able to see, he's able to see with these eyes, but these are not the eyes that saw what he saw. When by faith, he was able to see what me and you can't see by faith. By faith, they were throwing rocks at him coming and going. And by faith, he says, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the, well, that didn't cause them to stop the rocks. That caused them to throw more rocks. Friend, what he was saying was, he's not able to see like everybody else is, but he's able, and with that heart, by faith, to be able to see what God was beginning to show him. You know, as a saved person, it's some pretty good stuff when God begins to start talking your direction and start telling you stuff and start showing you things that nobody else in the world sees. Ain't it good sometimes just to be saved? Just think about it. I'm not talking about, oh, friend, there's sometimes when it's all of a sudden God speaks to you and says, you read that word and say, you know what, that applies to me. And when you see that it's yours and it applies to you, it's a blessing that nobody can take away. Amen. Nobody. Some of the best verses in the Bible is some of those that you put in that heart, and by faith you see it in action. When Stephen saw what he saw, you know what he could have said? I'm special. But he wasn't special. No. He wasn't special. God just blessed him. Are you special? Or does God just bless you? Sometimes, even we got this crazy phone. It's not shutting up, okay? Done getting too loud. I'm going to calm down, all right? But the truth of it is, we're not special. Take this thing and let me have it. Because in our world, we're not special. We're a Christian if we've been saved. We're not anywhere near special. God didn't set me aside and say, oh, by the way, let me show you what it means. The Apostle Paul rode to Damascus. Was he able to see with the eyes? See? Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, whenever that light brighter than a noonday sun come along, he wasn't looking at the sunshine. The sunshine, that sun that come up in that sky, that wasn't the thing that he saw. No, he said there's a light brighter than the noonday sun. That meant these old eyes right here had one thing. But the eyes that God put in that heart, that was the thing that he grabbed most. And you know, that's what me and you need. We need to see things not with these, but with this. I see what? I see the Lord. Man, woo. He actually said, the Lord was talking to him. Nah, that ain't possible. Well, he sure answered, Lord, what would you have me to do? Don't it sound like sometimes me and you need to hear from God, and God needs to tell us something, and we need to say this, Lord, what would you have me to do? Ain't it something simple when God all of a sudden uses what we think are important, but in reality, we don't have to see a lick. Because the way God deals with this, the heart. If you can count over the last little bit how many troubles you had, it would be like what the scripture says, that our life is, we're kind of full of troubles, aren't we? And if you start looking at things that happens to you health-wise, we start happening things that help because of your family or your friends or your financial situation, your job or your problem. We can just go through a list. If we go through that list, why does the Bible say, cast your cares on him, for he careth for you? Because the more times we live in this world, we're busy looking. And where God wants to look through our eyes and see right here. Let me quickly, I'll hush in just a moment. I want to share this with you. And just listen to me. When the Shunammite woman, and I'll get off her in a minute. When this woman, when she believed God, and everything was going pretty good. Go to that meal barrel, maybe something there. Well, you know the scripture. The scripture said this will continue until basically the famine's over, okay? So when the famine's over, everything's going to change in the river. She can go to the meal barrel and there won't be nothing there. Now, when you go to the meal barrel and nothing's there, what do you say? When you go by faith on the road to Damascus and get to the spot where you got saved, you get to the spot and you're waiting for the light that's brighter than the noonday sun. What do you do? What do you do when you're wanting God to do more for you than He does? Have you ever asked God to do more? Now, every time you see one of them St. Jude's commercials on television, don't it make you just, Sometimes we don't know sad situations till we see others. Visit a nursing home. Go to the hospitals. Go somewhere where there are needs. Do we go to God because God's always blessed us from the meal barrel and we open them and it's not there? Or I know what I'll do. I'll go to my prayer closet. Because if we've been there before and God has answered that prayer, we'll go back and we'll say, well, here I am, God. I need this. If we're not careful, we quit living by faith and we're trying to revert back to our eyesight. Living by faith, we'll believe God when there's meal in the barrel, and we'll believe God when there's nothing in the barrel. Whole lot harder to do it when there's nothing in there, isn't it? Whole lot harder to do it, but you know, God's not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. You know what that really means? If God so clothes the grass of the field, what would He do for me and you? And how many times have we had to look in that mirror barrel and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry because I doubted You. We've made more mistakes than we've done good. Because God's never forsaken us. Never. And He's not going to start just because we think He's not following us. Friend, God's with me until He calls me home and then I'll be with Him. He'll never forsake me. I am so thankful for that eternal security of a believer that I just don't know what to do. I'm glad to know that I may get kind of attached to these, but God wants me attached to this. And if I learn to live by faith and not depend on these, I'll be able to learn to follow Jesus and being blind. And go into the room. And I want you to know something tonight. He loves you.
Man.
Funny how He'll love you enough to send Jesus to die on the cross, even for you. Because if you start looking at a mirror, we ain't fitting to be saved. None of us are. And when that scripture says, well, maybe a pre-adventure, maybe a good man. Here lately, I ain't seen no good men, have you? But there sure is a good God. And I am so thankful tonight for Jesus dying on a cross that I could get saved and you could get saved. Let's have a song tonight.
137.
I'm glad to know that I've been born again. I'm glad to know I've been saved. I'm glad to know that if the Lord calls me home tonight, it'll be all right. Why? Because I won't have to worry about my eyeballs anymore. I won't ever wear another pair of glasses no more. Because I'll be able to see him face to face and eyeball to eyeball, as we say. Aren't you glad you're saved? I'm ready to go. How about you? May we stand, sing a verse. God speaking to you. You come. The altar's open, ready for you if you'll be willing to come to be saved tonight.